Welcome back to the Sage Patch. If you are new here, I am Tiffany, and this is my kitchen table that I just cleaned off, and I thought, oh, how perfect for destemming my basil before I throw it in on these screen trays for the dehydrator. And then I thought, well, shoot, if you're gonna sit down and do that, you might as well do your week 2 and 3 Every Bit Counts challenge video. Because you're clearly behind because it's week 2 and 3 and we're already in the middle of week 4, right? So I'm like, huh, so here I am. So let me dive in, and I wanna just give you a overview on everything that I've been doing. It's been very random as to when I'm gonna preserve something, and quite often it happened late at night before I went to bed because I hadn't preserved something yet that day, and you had to get something in the dehydrator because you can't leave a dehydrator empty overnight. I mean, and granted, if you caught it from my previous videos, my dehydrator is running 24/7. It's got an issue with the fan, and so I'm afraid if I turn it off, I won't get it back on again because I have been struggling to actually turn it back on. So I'm like, you're just gonna keep preserving. You've got enough stuff, right? So it's like two challenges I have going on right now. So I haven't been filming any actual processing time live because of that. So that being said, here's some of the stuff that I've done. It's been really amazing. Just say that up front. It's been amazing. So on the fermenting side, these are just a few of the jars. I finally got my act together and I got them put away in a dark, cool closet, coolest space I have in the house, darkest space as well, and learned some lessons on that. So first up, I'll show you, these are cucumber pickles. Well, I mean, everything's a cucumber pickle, right? I mean, well, anyway, cucumber pickles. My husband loves this. He finally loves one that I've made. I quit trying because they would get all soggy and all. So I don't know what I've done differently this time, either that or it's just the pickles. These are a combination of straight 8 and like pickling cucumbers. And then I put dill weed, dill seed, and garlic. Garlic goes in everything. And they're awesome. I don't know if you'll be able to see, but they get all these, like, I don't wanna pour it out, but they get all these bubbles on top, and it just looks so pretty, and they stay covered up so well because you can really jam things down. They're awesome. So he's already eating some of these. I'm preserving them, but they're also being eaten, so I'll just preserve some more. So I've got a bunch of these jars. Okay, I'm back. You missed the part where my dog walked by and tripped the cord, so we had to do a reset. And then as I'm getting him in a spot to settle down, discovered that he had a tick on him. And I'm like, what? So if I still have a bump on my head, it's because I put a lighted headband on in order to be able to see hands-free while I pick it off. Okay, this, just when you think you're good and you stop doing all of the spraying, that's what happens. So I don't know how long ticks stay around, but probably until the freeze, I don't know. Anyway, back to the regularly scheduled program. Pickles. Another one I did that was so good is a lot of stuff with tomatoes. I'm really excited about fermenting tomatoes. This is just a garden tomato sauce. I did basil, garlic, and tomatoes. And then you just shake it up. You cut them in half, quarters, depending on the, well, you cut them up a little bit so they're just big hunks. So you shake them and then they release all their juice. You don't have to add water to this. You just add the salt for the fermentation. And then you got enough juice in there from the tomatoes. Tastes amazing. This one's another really cool one. I haven't even tried this one yet. I've been doing whole tomatoes and just like puncturing them with a chopstick, just one quick hole through them to let them ferment on the inside. But keeping them whole, all of my smaller cherry and currant sized tomatoes, the little guys that are in there. And I also added some tomatillos in here as well, and I haven't tasted the tomatillos yet, so I haven't opened this one to try it out. But this is just more of an Italian type, because I've got, what did I put in here? I think it's got oregano, bay leaf maybe? Yeah, bay leaf, and then of course garlic, everything's got garlic. But the oregano is really something good. Those are awesome. The salsa. Okay, salsa is a lesson learned. So note to self, and for all of you who are getting started fermenting and want to be like the fermenting queen like me, you really have to put these away after a couple days. So they only need to sit out maybe around 3 days, especially because it's, you know, so warm out right now. They don't need that long a time. And when that time is up, put them in the fridge, put them in as cold of a cold storage space as you have. I don't have a cellar, so I just put them in the coolest dark closet that I have. But do that. Don't just leave them sit out on the counter for like weeks, because this is from the 10th of August, and it sat out for, I don't know, 2 weeks or something like that. And I was like, oh, so you know what happened to it? This most amazing salsa that I've ever made in my entire life is now too tangy. It is too sharp, it is too bitter, it is too fermented. And I'm really irritated by that because I knew that it needs to get put away. But so what I'm thinking I'm gonna do is make another one. My tomatoes, I'm in the middle of a round. So I don't have any fresh ones coming in right now. But I think I'm gonna make another round, and then I think I'm gonna mix them together. And I think that'll soften it up. But anyway, lesson learned, put them away. Beans, I'm really liking these beans. Storing them this way too long, about like 4 inches or so, and then wrapping a few around the top. It kind of wedge them in the jar. It's really holding things down well. I'm loving it with the beans. These are asparagus beans, and again, just garlic. Another one of them like this. Too. This one I actually had a mix of. That's why it's a little pink. It had some red noodle beans in there as well. This one is just asparagus beans. And then this is what happens when you don't keep things wedged down enough. I cut these beans shorter, and then I didn't pack them in the jar very well, so they weren't wedged good. And this is how you know. Yeah, sadly. This is how you know when they're no good. So you may get like a white covering over the top of them, and that's fine, that's yeast. And that's actually then what falls down to the bottom on here. That's totally fine, but that's what makes them a little bit cloudy in the inside. No problem. This, I call this black. Yeah, that's not good. So I lost this whole jar, because I didn't properly wedge them down. They're way too loose. So I did much better with the longer beans. I could wedge them better. But even so, if I'd like kept up on them, and then I'm thinking, if I do them again this size, I'll just have to come back, and as they start to, you know, squish up themselves and get settled in the liquid, I think I'll have to come back in and add more things on top. Like I may add some cabbage cores in here, or cauliflower cores might just start getting to push things down. So, but that's what it looks like. That's how you know. So, I mean, it's obvious that you don't want to eat that, right? So the look and the smell are always going to tell you with fermented stuff. Otherwise, the salt and the brine, the liquid, as long as everything stays under the liquid and you've got salt in there, you're golden. You're totally golden, okay? It'll just get too tangy, okay? So, but it's still fixable. I think it's fixable. So you know how that works out when I make another batch. I mix them up together. But I'm really excited about all these tomato things. And it's been really good. So on the dehydrating side, this has been another fun adventure. So I shared about the sweet potatoes. This is the batch I got from Sam's Club. So I found that this, once you grind them up from the shreds into powder, I can fit 9.5 pounds of of fresh weight of the sweet potatoes. 9.5 pounds, then they've been shredded and dried, can fit in this jar, which is pretty cool. So I've got a couple jars here, and then I've got another jar that I'm keeping in the kitchen area to be using currently. And then these, I've already, not this one, need to airlock, vacuum seal the lids to be able to store them. And then this one I'm gonna leave as shreds to be able to, I'll probably repackage it as well to be able to use on salads and things like that. But my own sweet potatoes, hopefully I'll have a harvest in a little while, and then this just may be able to go into long-term storage, so we'll see. So that's those. I've got some plantains, just been harvesting the leaves from the garden. I'm gonna make some salves out of that at some point, probably this winter. Basil, I've been going crazy with the basil. You see, this is cardinal basil. This is like my most favorite basil. It's very recognizable because look at the, can you see the color of the stem? It's like a rosy pink color. Very thick stem, and it just snaps very easily too. So you can harvest these by with your own hands. I mean, just, you know, see how easily that came apart? Even as thick as it is. This is like in the Thai family of basil. It's not Thai basil, but it's in the Thai family. Very strong, very anise licorice-y type. But it is just so amazing. And then this is sweet basil. So this is 12 ounces of fresh sweet basil. I'm trying to like start to measure things out and know like how much actually fits in here. And I was at Trader Joe's the other day, and they sell the biggest amount of basil I've seen outside of farmers markets. And right now their sizing is reduced. It's in a 2.5 ounce size. They have organic and non, but still, you know, 2.5 ounces. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. Cause I fit, when I'm dehydrating, 4 ounces, you know, minus the stems already, of the sweet basil fits on a tray. So, and then 4 ounces, and then so 3 trays chopped up in the food processor before I put them on here, turns into 12 ounces. And I was like, wow. So you kind of can really see how much you're saving based on buying stuff at the grocery store, you know? What you can do with 12 ounces, I mean, that's crazy. And I'm testing it out. This is the Genovese variety. I'm testing out if I like them better chopped up first, and then, or if I like them whole. So I've got some both ways. And then I'm also doing blue spice basil, and that one I'm gonna save more so for teas because it's really very similar to holy basil in flavor, and I like that a lot as a tea. So I'm gonna definitely keep that one whole, no chopping that one up like these guys at all. Oh, I had some moringa leaves. I have some trees out here that I'm growing, so I dehydrated some moringa leaves and more sweet basil. Oh, and I'm doing some of the Chinese red noodle beans. I'm dehydrating them. This is actually a lot of beans. I need to like weigh how much ends up like fresh, what it turns into here. I didn't do that yet though, but my vines are still producing, which is cool. And then I've got some of the asparagus beans. And the zucchini, yep, I've been doing more zucchini, doing it as just chunks. I've been chopping up bite-sized chunks, putting it in here, and then a lot of it I have then turned into powders, or powder, I don't know, but look at that. I already air sealed it too, air did vacuum lock on it, so, but yeah, this is amazing stuff. I forget how it was, I actually counted out how many zucchinis it was. I don't know if I wrote it down somewhere, but there's that. And then, oh, I've got some okra coming in. I grew okra for the looks. I don't really eat okra. I don't know what to do with it. So if you've got any good ideas, I thought maybe I would just dehydrate them and then put them in soups later. And I'm not real keen on the sliminess of them. I grew the purple ones, or the burgundy ones, because I liked them better than the green. But this year, they haven't seemed to be that like amazing. I don't know. Maybe my taste buds have changed. But anyway, I'm doing dehydrating some of those. The plants are looking beautiful out there though, and the flowers are gorgeous. And then I got some bulk cabbage I ordered from Naturally a Deal, my grocery haul. And a couple of the heads I'm gonna be dehydrating to use as shreds to put in soups and things later this winter. So this is cabbage. It looks kind of like my onions do when I dehydrate them, but it's cabbage. So this is a sample. Let me tell you, there is more. There is lots more jars of the stuff I've been doing. It's been really crazy. And I haven't really, I don't know if I've frozen anything this month, because like I said, I've got this dehydrator that I've got to keep going, and that's where these are going to go. Actually, I'm going to fill the dehydrator, and then I am going to make some pesto that I can put in the freezer. I'm gonna make a double batch, one for fresh eating now, and then one for storage, and then I'll have some more dehydrated stuff. Cause this is a lot. This is a lot of basil. From 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think from 8 plants. 8 of them out there. They're all looking really good. So there's that. I think that's everything. One side note I'll share is that you want to, when you're dehydrating, you want to make sure that things are really dehydrated. Like, you hear this? It doesn't have a thud. It doesn't sound dense. It just sounds very light. And it's a good sound. I actually, as part of this whole, you know, preservation challenge, I've been going back to the things I've just been leaving on the counter and adding to them as I'm, you know, dehydrating. I've got like a, you know, you'll have one of these containers. You might just throw in some dehydrated basil you did and it's not full yet. So then you add more later and all. So I went back to all of those in progress containers and I was going to seal them up and kind of finish the job and put them away and then get out a new jar for more. And I'm finding that a lot of them weren't actually completely dry. So either that because I didn't do it well enough the first time around or because I've been opening the jar and then putting more in. So note to self, and as you know, if it's helpful to you, be really careful that your things are completely dry before you, you know, seal them up and put them away, you know, for long term. So I have put a few back in the dehydrator to make sure that they are good and done. Mostly it was basil and like the beans here. The beans, you think like, oh my gosh, how long do they take? They take a while. And I dehydrate them at 115 degrees and until they are crunchy. Do you hear that? They just break. They break. That is when you know they're good. You might get them out sooner because you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're all shriveled. They've been in there forever and they should be good. And they kind of seem like they're dry. But they don't have that pop, that crisp break. They're not done. Okay, trust me, they're not done. So I had to make sure that I really let the beans go as long as they needed, even though it took forever. These probably take almost a day. They definitely take like all overnight into the next day. Yeah, so at least 18 hours, maybe even longer. And keeping them in longer than 18 hours isn't really gonna hurt them. These will still be okay. Now, if you get into like several days and stuff, I can't speak to that because I haven't let them go that long. But just make sure things that need to be crunchy are crunchy. And that, you know, like even with this, you can still kind of hear it inside that these were good at the time. And then when I dried them, some people re-dehydrate their, dried them, blended them up. Some people re-dehydrate again, the blended stuff, but I'm gonna lose so much powder. I can't turn my dehydrator off. So the fan is always blowing. Try and put a powder back in there when you open the door. Not gonna happen. But they were still dry. I mean, I watched them, I felt them as they came out of the blender jug, and they were still dry. I don't see any clumping of them together as I was going through putting them in the jar. So I was like, they're good. Seal them up. Yeah, and like even with the leaves, make sure the leaves are crispy. Sometimes you can think your basil is good. Basil, the blue spice basil actually re-dehydrated quite a bit of them that I had, you know, in a jar. This isn't it, but these leaves, they look this color and they feel kind of crispy. When you feel them, they feel dry. But then when you go to break them, there isn't really a break. They just kind of, you know, limp and they come apart, you know. You really want a break. So like with the herbs, you should be able to pick some up and then crunch them in your hand to use them as your herb. If you can't crunch them and they don't break up in your hand, they just kind of like ball up or they just kind of like turn into a clump, they're not dry. They're not dry, okay. Put them back in again, give them another round. I do 95 degrees on all the herbs. Some take longer than others. Like basil just takes a long time. Basil takes probably 18 hours at least itself. On same as like the beans, you think, but it should have less moisture, right? Takes a while. Oregano leaves, they dry really quick. You know, so you just have to watch the different ones that you're doing, and to each their own, right?
There you have it.
I am in the middle of week 4, and I will come back in and tell you how it all went. I'm very happy with how it's gone so far, though. I'm proud of myself for pushing forward with it. I wish some days that I could have just, like, thrown a couple bags of beans in the freezer and called it good. But again, I had to keep the dehydrator going. It's been good. I'm excited for all the food I'm putting away, and I've learned a lot about fermenting, which is really exciting. And this is a great way to really dive in the weeds, you know, and really start to figure things out and get comfortable with the process. And yeah, it sucks when you lose some food or when you, get old salsa. But it's still lesson learned, and I have takeaways from it, and I can make it better as I go. And so that's still all, you know, a win. And oh, I have to move the water outside. It's out watering. Shoot. I gotta go. But this, I think, is gonna be my every bit counts challenge today. I think it's just gonna be this cardinal basil, and I think I'm gonna call it good on that for this. So, but that'll be part of week 4. So, hope you guys are all doing well on your challenge, if you're participating. And if not, perhaps this video will inspire you a bit to give it a go. Go for it. Just to put some food up, and how much you can really save, and how little space it takes up, and how long it's gonna last, and you can still have fresh, raw food even with so much, I mean, most of the nutrients all preserved, ready to go for you. So that's what makes me especially happy for this method of food preservation. And not only is this still raw, but the fermented stuff is now alive with all the yummy, good bacteria for your microbiome as well. So hopefully I can inspire you to get going, give it a go, and put some food up that you can open up this winter and still not have to run to the grocery store. You can run to your own pantry. Thanks for watching, and keep doing all the fun stuff. Keep growing, and you'll see me on another video coming up soon, hopefully. Bye for now, guys.